I'm a little bit clumsy at the moment, and I feel bad about that because I've got Doc Emmerich on the phone. You know, we wanted to get to you as soon as we could because we know you have other things to get to, and I'm so grateful. The one interview he said he was going to do today, it's with me, Doc Emmerich, legendary hockey broadcaster. We've got a little bit of a hockey game that you're going to be busy broadcasting, right, Doc?
I sure am, and I know one of your subjects today, and condolences to you and the family. We've been through this before, and it is a very hard time, and our thoughts are with you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And you've been a good friend to Chicago Animals, actually. You hear me on the radio, you know, where I do the pet show on Sunday mornings. This is true, Andy. And Doc will send me a text during the show. Lord knows how you get up so early, or why.
No, it's a great show, and South Suburban is one of the one of the great groups that we all like too.
Yeah,
you'll be interested to know there have never been and this is my 11th Winter Classic. There have never been more species of creatures in the pregame festivities than there will be here today in Dallas.
What?
And I'm not going to tip off how many different species of creatures there will be, but there are going to be a lot of them.
Why?
And Eddie Olczyk really loves one of these species.
Horses.
In particular. That's
it's a horse.
The only tip I'm going to give
horse,
you.
Horse, horse. We're going to see horses.
They've been rehearsing this morning. The band was rehearsing, and they just stopped, so I'm fortunate there. I'm sitting in the Dallas penalty box. The ice looks wonderful. The seats are empty. It's 85,000 empty seats, but they will be filled by about 12:30 Central because the festivities start then. I'll let your listeners know the actual puck drop is 1:05.
Perfect.
We're going to be on to cover all the festivities involving all of the humans and all of the creatures that are going to be involved. But these are great celebrations of our sport and a Central Division matchup between Nashville and Dallas. And isn't it interesting today that the Blackhawks have now tied with Nashville and are not co-holders of the basement? They won 5 of 6 and 3 straight and 1 more, and then they're going to come home.
Okay, lots of questions just based on what you said. I think the question people are most often asking me is they're playing in Dallas. Dallas is kind of warm. So how do they keep the ice rink in the shape that they are apparently, I don't know, keep it to be ice rather than a swimming pool?
It's a good question, and this turned out to be because of weather conditions on Saturday, the biggest challenge that the ice group has had to make and succeed with, and this will be the 29th outdoor game, and here's why. Saturday, late Friday night and Saturday afternoon, humidity rolled in, and then a torrential downpour that dumped 2 inches. Now, this is like 2 inches of downpour in your bathtub. There's no place for it to go. It was heat, humidity, and downpour. They had to pull the boards down at the end of the rink and squeegee and let it all run out. The logos melted, the lines melted, the white paint for the ice went, and they were back at square one by 5:30 Saturday afternoon when the rain stopped. They started making ice again. 4,500 more gallons of water on, more white paint on, and by Monday afternoon they had returned the ice miraculously by working around the clock for 36 hours, 2 different shifts of 8, crews of 8. They had gotten it back to where they could actually practice on it yesterday, and that has been a real miraculous recovery. But it's the problem that you have when you have the chaos of weather. We've had snow like we had at Soldier Field. It snowed all the time. Snow's
I was
not
there.
A problem.
Yeah, but I was there.
Now, the two curses are rain and sunshine, and today we have overcast and no rain, really, to speak of, so we're going to be okay.
9:15 on WGN, we're talking to the great Doc Emmerich. And by the way, sir, I would beg to disagree. I think snow was a problem, maybe not for the people on the ice who are playing in the game, but for those watching the game. I mean, it was blowing off the lake in our face, and it was 10 degrees out there. So it was kind of, and I went to the game at Wrigley Field. What is the weather like right now in Dallas?
We're at 45. There is not much wind to speak of. The flags are not moving around very much at all here at the Cotton Bowl. And it's supposed to be in the low 50s to mid-50s in the afternoon. There was not a cloud in the sky yesterday. It was sunny. Today, there are nothing but clouds, which is good news because that means we won't have a sun delay. What the sun does is it beats down on the logos and on the lines that are painted on the ice, and underneath they become soft and they become dangerous to the players. It's not the glare as much as it is the softness of the ice that comes from the sun. And the rain, of course, makes it impossible to play, and that also is a risk of injury, too. Now, so those are the two curses to outdoor games, but the snow is never a problem, except as you observe to the spectators.
Yes. Now I want to talk about the goaltenders here. You've got two amazing goaltenders, but one is having kind of a off season relative for that goaltender, correct?
Yes, Pekka has not had a good year, but he's the guy that's going to play today for Nashville, and Ben Bishop has had a wonderful year for Dallas and is going to wear the helmet cam, so that'll be kind of interesting,
cool,
too. There are usually these unusual innovations that we'll see at outdoor games. He was practicing with the helmet cam on yesterday, and he will be the tallest goaltender to ever play outdoors at 6'7". I think I might be the smallest broadcaster. I'm 5'7", so I guess maybe I qualify.
I know Andy has a question for you, but I do have to jump in here and say this. So I've got to try to get this right. My Uncle Dick, I won't say his last name, but I'll just say Uncle Dick, who's my sister-in-law's brother-in-law, if you can follow that. His nephew is Ben Bishop.
Really?
Yeah, so we're related. Tell him that.
Yeah, well, wonderful. Yeah, it's nice to have a relative like that, and he's such a good guy.
That's what I hear.
Most of these guys are, as you know. I mean, they're just class acts, and Ben is certainly one of those. And I'll never forget him playing against the Blackhawks for Tampa in the 2015 Stanley Cup Final, and from game two on, he played with a torn groin. I don't know how a goaltender does that, but he did. So what a gallant warrior he was. And, of course, people remember that night because of the tornadoes and the Stanley Cup arriving late, but the Blackhawks won it.
Doc, I'm curious, too, from a broadcast standpoint, in each of these outdoor arenas, you get put in a different spot. How difficult is that for you? I mean, you're used to being inside in a pretty good locale for the regular games.
Yeah, Eddie and I are right up against the glass. We have been ever since the game at Ann Arbor in 2014. You can see one zone right in front of you really well, as long as the linesman, because we're right on the blue line, is not got his behind up against the glass because he's got to call the offsides or onsides. But if we were in the football press box, to identify players, which is kind of what I like to do, you're going off a 4-inch number on their sleeve. And if you're in the football press box, you're 200 feet away, and trying to identify a 4-inch sleeve number is a little difficult. So we like being down close, but the penalty you pay for that is 2/3 of the ice. If you're up against the glass, you have difficulty seeing. So what they do is they lock off an end zone shot of the rink from behind the net. And so for one zone, I can look straight ahead and see players pretty well. And for the other 2/3 of the ice, I have to turn and look at a monitor to my left to be able to identify not only the players but what's going on. So it's not exactly the best-case scenario. But what this event is about, for the teams, it's 2 points in the standings, and Nashville desperately needs them. But for us, it's covering an event that is an outdoor celebration of the sport. On New Year's Day. And so it's an imperfect science for us. And you recognize that going in, that it's a little different kind of an approach to a broadcast than what you would have if you were doing a game indoors. But it's great fun. And every one of these is unique, and it's quite a spectacle.
Well, you know what? There is, and I'm sure Andy, as a play-by-play guy yourself, I would imagine you would agree that I personally never thought of watching a hockey game being described in a artistic way as if it's poetry. And the way Doc Emmerich describes a game is just that. There's everyone else, including some great broadcasters, and then there's this guy on the phone.
Well, it's very kind of you to say, and I sure appreciate what Andy does. I don't know how you get up this early in the morning to do it all the time, too.
I'm not sure either.
I marvel at you guys that are first shift workers, and in your case, Andy, a second shift worker, too. because I'm more specialized. I'm more of an afternoon and evening guy. But I greatly appreciate you guys for being up at this hour and doing this on a regular basis.
Doc Emmerich, thank you.
I am a regular listener.
I know. Doc Emmerich, thank you so much.